I wanted to just share some things this morning because I put a bunch of scriptures in here because it's important to me to let you know that everything I'm saying is established in the Word of God because it's our roadmap. You wouldn't go to Chicago without a GPS or a map. And this is how to live your life with the greatest blessings. And it's the Word in us that shows us how we're supposed to get to the places that He says we can get to when we live in a world that fights against that. Can you hear me? No, they can't hear me. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, I just had the mic in the wrong position, honey. It's okay. Anyway, you can look up the scriptures later. I just wanted you to have them because it's what guides my life. And I wanted to just share with you some of the wonderful experiences that I've had because that word has been hidden in my heart. So I wrote down a few things, and I'm just going to tell you a few testimonies so you can, if my iPad works. Are we on the Wi-Fi here? We're okay. Okay, let's see. I was talking about how we overcome the world, because that's what the Bible's talking about. And I realized that my blessed assurance, you know, came. I met the Lord when I was 9 years old, but my blessed assurance came when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my bedroom one day. And I felt the love of God come, and it was in the 60s when I was at my lowest, and probably Pat and I were having terrible marriage problems, and we were living more of a Hollywood life than a believer's life. And it's like I felt we lost our way, and I didn't know how to get back to where I was from where I'd gotten to. And I just went in my room one day and prayed. And the fact that Jesus really poured His love on me so that that blessed assurance came, that I knew I was forgiven, and I literally felt like warm substance come all over my body. And I cried, and I prayed in tongues for 45 minutes, which I'd never done. I'd always prayed with my head down, and all of a sudden, my head went up, my hands went up, tears were pouring out down my cheeks because I had connected in such an intimate way, and I longed for that, and I know that's what all of you long for, is the intimacy you can have with God. And these are just some of the intimate things that He's done for me. I remember calling Pat and saying, honey, I have this great experience and love is all over me. And I knew our love had gotten so distorted. And I remember the Lord teaching me how important it was to realize that the splinter beam principle in the Bible, that I was seeing the splinter in my brother's eye, though he was my husband. And God was trying to show me a beam in my own. And when I sat out to try to remove that beam and let the Lord do it, my life changed completely. And He saw the love of God in me. My prayer life changed, and my whole attitude towards people changed. And a lesson on forgiveness came to me from Corrie Ten Boom, which Dave shared one day here, that she called the Bim Bombs. And, you know, she was in a concentration camp and had to forgive people that really took the lives of her whole family when she hid the Jews. And she was released a week before everybody her age was murdered. And she went to 66 nations telling people about the love of God, and that there was no pit too deep, that God's love wasn't there. And I've discovered that. My mom, when I was 17, took her own life, and God gave me a peace and a responsibility to take care of two younger sisters. I have felt for a long time, because I was 9 when I gave my life and 10 when I developed double pneumonia and almost died, and my mom developed a heart condition that ended up being the reason she ended up taking her life. It was just too much. She was the first open-heart surgery in Nashville. So coming up without a mom was a turning point for me, to where though Pat and I were both singing in Nashville, and I sang with a group called the Anita Kerr Trio, and I was 17 and 18 years old. And I really wanted to be a singer, but I was very nervous about it all. And Pat would be the discovery of the week, one week at the Centennial Park programs, and the next week I'd be the discovery of the week. And I met him when I was 13, never forgot him. Because of my mom being ill, I had to go to a boarding school. And then I had to go back for her surgery when I was 16. And we had a date that night, and we've been dating pretty much ever since. In fact, in a couple of weeks, it'll be 61 years. And one of the things that God wanted, I felt the Lord wanted me to share with you, was how love that was poured on me overcame guilt and shame. And that's the message in the Word. It's He overcomes the world. And so anything that you're facing, you'll find in the Word, and He'll show you how to get rid of it. And when I was, when Pat and I, after we'd come to these experiences, he went somewhere, and he was gone a lot, but he went somewhere, and he came in at 2 in the morning, and he had a 9:30 meeting with very important people. And I said, honey, what time do you want me to wake you up? And he said, not till 9 o'clock. I said, you'll never make it to a 9:30 meeting. He said, I've got to get some sleep. So I said, okay. And I got out of the bed to go take the kids to school the next morning. And I was listening to Catherine Kuhlman, who usually had testimonies of amazing healings. And this morning she was teaching out of the Word of God. And she was making a point that I didn't want to miss. So when I got home, I ran into the house, ran into our recreation room, and hit the button for the radio speakers to come on so I could hear her point, not knowing that my husband that night before had prayed, Lord, I can't miss this appointment. Please help me get up in the morning. And just as the speaker in the bedroom warmed up and was up full blast, she arrived at Ephesians 5:14. Now, what I want you to really receive in this is I'm telling you about a personality that we serve, that we love, that loves us. And the scripture that came out of that speaker was, awake, thou that sleepest. And I'll rise from the dead. But I'm telling you, he moved. He was not late to that appointment, but those are the scriptures that I want you to see, that God doesn't just give you judgment scriptures or rules to live by. He wants a relationship with us. And Pat said one of the things that showed him was not only did God hear his prayer at 2 in the morning, but he has a sense of humor. And I think sometimes we miss that. Another thing that I wanted to share with you was when my dad died, it's kind of a finality to lose both your mom and dad, you know that, Dave. And we went back to Nashville for the funeral. But by now, I had found that the Lord wanted us to be victorious in everything. And I'm very dry, so you'll see me take water every once in a while. Anyway, my prayer was this, a simple prayer. Somehow, Lord, glorify yourself. My eyes were not on me. My eyes were on Jesus. In the midst of this, somehow glorify yourself. Don't let Daddy's death be in vain. And Dad was a very popular country western singer, and there were thousands at his funeral. And we prayed for days. I was really like a sergeant with my dad's wife, telling her to get her head up. Daddy wouldn't want this. And it was outside of the... Well, we went to church to show you the emotional ways the enemy will set things up. I was burying my dad on Debbie's birthday, so I had to leave her alone and come to Nashville for the funeral. We went to church that morning, and we took communion, and communion never meant so much to me as it did that day, because I really recognized the price that Jesus paid for my victory. And I went out to the car, and we were getting ready to go to the funeral home, and I heard Holy Spirit say to me, let the dead bury the dead. Come follow me. And that scripture never meant anything till that moment. And I realized He was trying to keep me in the spirit and not getting attached into the flesh. So I didn't go to the funeral home because he said, your dad's not there. And it put everything in the right perspective. So we got to the church, but now I'm at the Red Sea and I'm waiting for it to open. And I've got a knot in my stomach. My heart's ready to break. And I said, let's have one last prayer to my sisters in the limo. And we bowed our heads. And I just said, Lord, if you want us to go in there and weep, we'll go in there and weep. Because they were going to be singing hymns that Daddy had made famous, like Peace in the Valley and Closer Walk with Thee. And Pat couldn't even be with me because he was a pallbearer, so I didn't have the comfort of him on my side. Anyway, we bowed our heads in the car, and I said, Lord, if you want us to go in there and weep, we'll go in and weep. But Lord, your word says your yoke is easy and your burdens are light. Please lift this off of us, and we'll give you all the glory. And that limousine filled with the presence of God. And even though I prayed it, I looked up at my sisters and I said, he's with us. Do you feel his presence? I mean, the knot disappeared. My heart went to peace. And the peace that passes understanding is more than anything you'll feel in this world. It's the shalom that the Israelites talk about. It's at every dimension of your being. And I got out of the car, and I took my dad's wife by one arm, and Nick, Pat's brother, took her by the other, and we were walking her in. I never saw a photographer, but the next day in the paper, there were pictures of the funeral and an article and one little paragraph that said, Red would have been proud of his daughter, his beautiful daughters, it said, whom tragedy could not break. That's our God. We overcome grief with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter. It's just a matter of continuing to press when you're in the darkest hours. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she had fought it so many years. And she pressed till she got there, just to touch the hem of his garment. I love Chris Falson's song, One Drop of His Blood. That's what got me through that day. One drop, and so much is available in that communion cup you took today for any issue or problem you have. And the intimacy of your relationship with him, to be your lover when your lover's on the road for months. The first 3 years we lived in Beverly Hills, he was gone out of the country a year and a half of that time. He can be your husband. He can be your father. With your fathers are missing, he can be your brother. He's one of your best friends. You just need to learn him and get to know he'll meet every need. When he says he'll supply every need you have according to his riches and glory, maybe not all your wants, but all your needs. And you learn to be flexible to that. He is the victory that overcomes this world. I want to tell you one more story that I thought would be interesting to you. Of another area where when I received the Holy Spirit, I'd been very afraid to fly because we'd had horrible experience. We had a 1,000-foot drop in a plane one day, and we went bouncing all over, and food was all over the plane. And I had 3 children then, and Debbie couldn't fit in the belt with me. She was so little. So we really, we were in burst then because it took 9.5 hours to fly from L.A. to New York. And the berth came down and hit both of us, and they were all belted in. But lightning struck our plane one time, and 2 tires blew as we were trying to take off. We had to spend the night there in the airport. So little things like that had built a fear base in me, and we were getting ready to fly over. After I received the Holy Spirit, though, I'd forget to put my belt on. I mean, faith overcomes fear, and I had so much faith in Jesus to protect me. In fact, this is a scripture that God gave me, because that little guy back there was only 18 months old, Ryan, in my lap, because Lindy and Doug were going on vacation to Hawaii. And Lindy said, Mom, can you keep Ryan? And I said, honey, I'm going to Hawaii to see the girls there, Youth with a Mission. Well, we were going to different islands, but she was sweet enough to let me take 18-month-old Ryan with me. And we did fine on the big plane going to Oahu, but then we had to get on a little plane. And all of a sudden, that little precious package in my lap allowed that fear to start rising up again. And knowing who my Savior is, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, give me those scriptures about eagles flying. Help me to remember what those are, Lord. I couldn't think of a scripture. And all of a sudden, he brought me a scripture that said, Psalm 91:7 says, though 1,000 fall on your left and 10,000 on your right, no harm will come near you. And the peace came. And I knew we were okay and in his hands. So now every flight we take, Pat prays, and then I add that scripture to seal it. And it was just such a precious time that we had. But that scripture became important to me. And I want to show you how one little word will meet those needs. That's why if you hide the word in your heart, you'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit brings it to you. He even says, don't worry if you go to court, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words in that hour, in that instant. So there's an intimacy with Jesus that I want you to know about. And then this precious boy back here was 18 months old then. But we developed one of the most precious relationships. You know, my dad had four girls and I had four girls. So he was the first boy in the family. And he and I got into a wonderful relationship. In fact, both Ryan and Jesse were kind of like my kids for a while. At least Doug and Lindy didn't mind sharing them with me. And they were just a gift from God for me. And I was with him when he was 4 years old and received the Holy Spirit as Jesus into his heart. And I watched him grow in the Spirit. And when he had his accident, Lindy was in Spain, and I was the one the roommates called to come and get him, to meet them at the hospital. But they didn't tell me what had happened. And he had fallen 40 feet through a skylight onto a concrete court. And when I got there and found out how serious it was, I was walking in from the car. And I'd prayed all the way to the hospital. And you know, the Holy Spirit knows what to pray for that you don't know how to utter. And I found myself praying, Lord, I bind death. And I loose life to him. And I prayed for doctors and nurses and medicines and things. And I'm thinking, why am I praying for all this? Because I didn't even know what had happened to him. But I remembered it after the fact, because the Holy Spirit was praying through me. And when I got to the hospital and found out it was more serious, the paramedics were coming out of the emergency room. And one of them, I said, I think you just took my grandson in. One of them looked at me, the other just went straight to the truck. And the one looking at me said, lady, don't get your hopes up. Well, I'm an intercessor, and you don't get my hopes easy. And I walked in and said to his roommates, what happened? And when they told me, I knew it was a lot more serious than anything I could possibly imagine. I called Pat and said, honey, can you come with me? And he said, I'm in an important meeting. Can you handle it? He probably just broke an arm or a leg. Men just see things differently. And I said, okay. So I went over and called Pat and said, honey, it's more serious. You need to come. And he did. And Doug came. And I'm so grateful for the relationship that I have with Doug and Lindy and Mike. And my sweet friend Vera. And the family just keeps growing because of the way that we have confronted the issues that have attacked us in our lives. And the love of God grows stronger and greater every day of our lives, because we're not just trying to suit ourselves, we're trying to please God. And he just keeps filling us. And the more grandchildren I have, the bigger my heart grows for loving more people. Now we have four greats, 16 grandchildren and four greats. But anyway, when the doctors came out, the emergency room doctors, they said his spleen is ruptured, his lungs are collapsed. He's so serious, we can't even do a CAT scan on his head, so we don't know what damage has been done. But he's bleeding out. We can't stop the bleeding. And people in this condition don't usually make it. And I heard those words in my ears, but in my spirit I heard louder. Psalm 118, he will live and not die and declare the glory of God. And that presence of God was so with that, that I never felt fear. I never felt any anxiety. And I know me well enough to know the love I had for this boy. And my own flesh would have been in the bed next to him. I would not have been able to handle that kind of news about someone I love that much. And I just took my hands and I went like this. I just said, just go work with him. Go work with him. Because I knew the outcome. And they went back in, and he required 36 pints of blood. And we're so grateful for people that donate blood. Please do that. You don't know whose life you're saving. And oddly enough, the day before, Pat and Shirley Jones and her husband, Marty Ingalls, and Casey Kasem and Charlton Heston had gone to UCLA Hospital where Ryan was to donate blood and encourage people. So we had a seed planted there for our grandson. And Pat said later, he asked one of the nurses, would it be possible if we gave blood the day before that Ryan might have gotten some of our blood? And she said, oh yeah, that would have been possible. So Pat has this dream that Ryan's carrying Moses' blood around in him. Anyway, it's been a 13-year battle, and my daughter has amazed me with her faith and her tenacity to find what's best for Ryan. And the wonderful thing that Mike and Doug and Vic and all of them are doing to raise up Ryan's reach to help other people with brain injuries, because Ryan has a legal settlement that's taking care of him. God has a way of going before us to prepare the way. And I don't know what my time is, Dave, so I don't want to just keep going because I know I'm doing okay. Anyway, this young man is called by God. I'm so proud of him because he's a champion. He's fighting back. And you have no idea how tough it's been in 13 years. A lot of people would give up faith. But we know that God has something special for Ryan. And we just hope you guys will join us in praying for his suddenly, when God raises him up to be a witness of God's power and love and mercy and grace to all of us. And you know, the Jews require a sign. And I really believe Ryan's going to be one of those signs. He loves the Lord with all his heart. If you could hear him pray at night, it's so precious. And Lindy gets scriptures, but one of the scriptures that God gave me shortly after, and Ryan wasn't even speaking at this point when I gave it to Lindy. I called her and said, honey, start praying this scripture over him. There again, the word of God. And Ryan, you pray it all the time. It's do not. That's right. It's do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. And though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. He is the light of the world. He wants you to know him at every dimension. So many people see him as some kind of a judge on a throne just looking to get you. He is trying to get you to let you know how much he loves you, how much he wants to do for you. He stood over Israel and wept over them because they wouldn't receive what he was trying to bring to them. And that's the big key. You have to pursue him and press into him. Learn how to believe his word and receive his word. And everything you need will be added to you. And if you have things in your own personality that need to be a little bit corrected, he'll show you those things. But he does it with long suffering, with patience. He's kindness. He's goodness. God is love, the Bible says. And that's what all of us are seeking. To be loved not only by God, but but to be loved by one another. And the Bible says that the world will know that we're his disciples, not because we have perfect doctrine, not because we have perfect lives, but because we love one another. And when you die to self, you give room for God to come in and love and forgive unthinkable things. If I told you some of the things I've faced, you would think, well, you had every right to feel that way by the world's standards, but not by God's standards. He was on that cross saying, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I don't know how he's handling the way the world has turned at this point, but I know who has the last word. And I've read the back of the book, and my ministry is called We Win Ministries. Hallelujah. And I know Jack Hayford used to tell a story that I loved, and it was that this little boy went to Sunday school, and when he came home, his mom said, well, what did you learn in Sunday school today? And he said, that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. And she said, well, what does that mean to you? He said, we're supposed to go out and make other people thirsty. I think that's a pretty good point. And what I had something in my mind I was going to share with you, and now this is what being 80 happens to you. You forget faster than you should. Anyway, I just wanted all of you to know the love of God in my heart has been overwhelming. I try to share it with people when I go. I get into more detail about how God showed me how to forgive, because I think a lot of us get stuck in some of the things that happen in our lives about how to forgive. And it was a lesson that Corey taught me about agreeing with God's word. And when I agreed with God, Lord, you've told me to forgive those people. I forgive them. Now you work it in my heart. Because the word says the victory is ours. The battle is his. But we end up doing the battle trying to get the victory. And so I started just saying, Lord, thank you for working that forgiveness in my heart. And she's helped me by showing me that feelings are fickle. So when the feelings of unforgiveness or resentments or bitterness or blame or something comes, that can change. But what I did was what she said. Every time those feelings came, she said, use it as a tool, because that's Satan coming to try to pluck out the seed that's in your heart, that you've willed to agree with God's word. And so I just did that. It took a long time. But the first couple of weeks, I thought I would think about them. I would go crazy with all the times I thought about them, and the feelings came back, and I'd think in my flesh, well, it's not working because I'm feeling this. But as I continued, it began to wane, and eventually one day I was in a Bible study, and while I was sitting there, I thought of these people at the end of the study, and I knew it was God, because I not only didn't feel the resentment and the bitterness and the unforgiveness, I felt love for them. And you can't do that by yourself. And this blind lady that was teaching the class, it so impressed me for the day. And she said, now, Shirley, God wants you to do two things. Don't speak of the things that have been done in the past. I think sometimes we go fishing in our past and we bring back those pains and things. Well, we need to just let them go. And when God gives you that love, she said, now God wants you to take that love to those people. And that was kind of a challenge to me, but they didn't live in our state. So I thought, well, I can face that when it comes. But I couldn't wait to get home and tell Pat. I walked in our kitchen and I said, honey, I thought about them today and I have love for them. I said, I don't feel the bitterness or resentment. And I said, that's got to be God. And he just looked at me. He didn't react or respond to me. And I said, what's up? He said, did you know they're in town this weekend? And I said, God, you set me up. But you know what Holy Spirit said to me? He said, no, Shirley, I've gone before you to prepare the way. He's so gentle and sweet with us. And I couldn't wait to get dressed that night. And I ran to them and put my arms in. You know what? Sometimes you think your unforgiveness is keeping them in prison. It's keeping you in prison. And I was a free woman. And I loved them. I love them today. One of them has gone on to heaven. But I just hope I've shared with you some of the different personalities of God, because he is a person. And when you get to know him, he's ever so lovely. And then you share him with other people. And to me, he's irresistible. I hope he's a little less, I hope you're a little less resistant to who he is today, for hearing the way he's blessed us and our family. Keep praying for Ryan suddenly too, please. Thank you.